The following is a production of JSC Media. Stay ready.
You're listening to the People's Podcast.
I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another.
This is JSC Radio.
All right. So, trying to see if I remember how to do this. It's been a minute. Like, it's been a lot of minutes. Like, a lot of minutes. Okay. I guess I got to explain where the hell I've been for the last 3 years, huh?
I did all these things, and I got here to this place riding a wave, riding the backs of smart, passionate fans like you. And oh gosh, I never fit in somewhere more in my entire life. I love you for it. I love you because you love me. And you love me because I have never compromised. I have been unapologetic my entire career. I am me. And I couldn't have done all of this without all of you.
You're listening to the People's Podcast. This is Jay. SC Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. What's happening? Hi there. My name's Jay Scott Smith. I guess I have to reintroduce myself here. This is the 118th episode of the People's Podcast. This is J. Scott Confidential, better known as JSC Radio, maybe, sort of, Hi, guys. Yeah. So, what would you like to talk about? It's been a minute, but welcome back after a very long and unexpected hiatus. Welcome back again, my friends, to the podcast that never technically ended. It just kind of went on pause for almost 3 years and came back. I want to thank all of y'all who have supported me forever, whether it was on radio or in print or on YouTube or, of course, on this podcast and now, I guess, kind of, sort of, on television. I can't even do my normal intro because so much has changed. Like, some of the podcast providers I was on don't even exist anymore. Like, RIP to Stitcher. Yeah, the first podcast platform to put me on is gone. But now, because it's gone, because everything is corporate, it got inhaled and dropped into Pandora. So everybody who's listening on SoundCloud and Pandora, and of course, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, no more Stitcher, that's gone. But Pandora, big up to Pandora. And of course, it is also on Spotify and everywhere else you get your damn podcast. I can't even think straight right now, which is kind of crazy because, for one, I am not coming to you from the JSC Radio Studios, which I haven't been in that particular place in a long time either. In fact, I'm not even in the city of Philadelphia right now. I am actually sitting in a hotel room at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention, which this year is being held in a city that you wouldn't think would be integral to who I am, but it is, Birmingham, Alabama. That's right. We're in Sweet Home, Alabama. I would have loved to have done this last year from last year's convention, which was in Las Vegas. But, you know, at the time, things were different. So let me just cut the BS and just explain why it is that this here podcast went dark. Well, I mean, if you've seen me, this podcast has always been dark, but went dark back in September of 2020. So, last time I talked to you guys on this here podcast, Oh, and by the way, of course, you can always follow your boy on Instagram at Real J. Scott Smith, because that has changed in the last 3 years. I'm still on Twitter. No, I'm not calling it X. It's Twitter at J. Scott Smith. I am also on Threads at Real J. Scott Smith. Of course, I'm also on Facebook as well. Facebook is just simply J. Scott Smith. Pretty much look for J. Scott Smith and you will find me just about anywhere out here. And to get back to the point I was making, the last time I talked to y'all on this here podcast was the first weekend in September of 2020. And as you recall, at the time, I was still working part-time at a news radio station in Philadelphia. JSC Media was just really getting on its feet. This podcast was kind of like my outlet. And I was also still teaching at Lincoln University. And we were still in the throes of the pandemic. We had a whole lot of shit going on back then in 2020. It's hard to believe it was 3 years ago. Well, after I finished recording what would be, at least at the time, the last episode, or the most recent, I never say last, the most recent episode of this podcast here, I had finished doing an interview with Julian Castro, because this was the plan for the fall of 2020 was I was going to do a lot of stuff focused on voting and kind of getting people for the run-up of what would be the 2020 election. And boy, didn't that thing turn out to be just swell. My goodness, that thing didn't have long-standing effects on democracy and the history of this country and everything. But to get through that, I was going to have a bunch of different guests. I was going to focus on voting. I was going to focus on people getting out there and doing their democratic duty. All these different things were what the plan had been. And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call from a friend of mine at CBS News who said that the then vice president of CBS News would like to speak with you if you're interested. And of course, when you get a call like that, you're going to answer that damn call, aren't you? Yes, you are. Oh, yeah, you are, baby. And that's what I did. And what started with that phone call led to weeks of back and forth with the interview process and weeks of back and forth of going through tryouts and going through rehearsals and going through auditions. And in October of 2020, I was offered a position at CBS News. And I thought, oh, I guess I gotta give my notice here in Philly, even though I'm not here in Philly right now, but you get what I'm saying. And I'm going to go take a national gig. And one of the provisions of taking that national gig would have been, I would have largely had to put this bad boy on pause for a while anyway. And then a funny thing happened. I called to give my notice. And for those of you who remember what life had been like for me prior to September of 2020 was, and all you got to do is go back in the archives, because all these episodes are still out there, by the way, going all the way back. I was really wading through one of the most difficult time periods of my life. By the time you got to September 2020, I had gone through being illegally evicted and not knowing where my next paycheck was coming from. And I was doing part-time gigs and I was teaching and I'm doing all these different things. The podcast was the thing that was preserving my sanity. So this podcast, I don't think you understand how much it meant to me to just do this and have y'all checking in and listening and really loving what I was doing. So it was a very difficult mental call for me to put this thing on hold, but a dream gig is a dream gig. So I called to give my notice, and the guy who hired me at that radio station, will not name it, even though you can actually hear this podcast as well on the Odyssey app, that I called to give my notice that I was out of here. I was going to give him a couple of weeks, and that job gave me a chance that nobody else was willing to give me at the time. So I got emotional. I'm an emotional dude, if you haven't already figured that out. Again, back into the archives to listen to some of the other times I've broken down
and gotten teary-eyed and emotional on this here podcast because it's as real and as raw as it gets. But for me to do that, I got emotional. And in the process of giving my notice, I heard the words, "So what can we do to get you to stay here?" Now, you got to understand, in September 2020, I was only used to, at best, them saying, "We'll help you pack if you want to leave." At worst, getting shoved out the door and slandered on the way out. You know who you are, too. And the wildest thing about all this is that I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that I'd get offered a national gig in the first place. You have to understand, at the time, I was still just a weekend and late night guy. And that summer of 2020 was bonkers to begin with, because even though I was a part-time and late night guy, the part-time and late night guy had won himself 2 Edward R. Murrow Awards for the work I was doing on that radio station in the summer of 2020. Now, I wouldn't win it until the following spring, but you know what I mean. I would since win 2 more. But when you get hit with that out of nowhere, it's like, oh, y'all actually want me to stay here? That's interesting. Because I wasn't giving my notice to, you know, get more money. I didn't think they were going to keep me. Please excuse me. This hotel is actually sitting near an interstate highway, so it might get a little loud in the background sometimes. But I wasn't expecting that. And they made me a counteroffer. Either way, I was going to make more money than I'd ever made in radio in my life. Like, I didn't think it was possible to make 6 figures in radio until that day in 2020. As much as I love this podcast, and as much as I will eventually see us making 6 figures with this damn thing, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. I was in a position at that point where I had to think. And as much as I would have loved to have taken the CBS gig, the gig in Philadelphia offered me more money and offered me a lot more in terms of flexibility and options. And that's what life is about. It's about options. And I took the gig. And the wildest thing is that for a while, it worked out perfectly. And I got to be an afternoon drive anchor on a major market radio station. Not a large market. Not even a top 10 market, a top 5 market. It's monstrous. It's an opportunity that you can't really turn down, especially when they throw more money than a national place does. Yeah, you're going to do that. And in the process, I could have kept doing this podcast, but with my workload, it was very hard. And I also ended up being the front man for creating a new podcast with that radio station. You wouldn't know that I was a part of the creation of that, but I was. And the workload just got to the point where it was like, I never want to do this podcast or anything I do half-assed. And rather than do a half-assed job and get on this mic and be inconsistent or promise something and can't deliver, I just put it on pause. Because you got to understand, I'm the one that owns the intellectual property on this thing. My name is on it. It's all over it. It's my creation. It's like Vince McMahon when he spun around in the chair back in 2002 to reveal the NWO thing. Look it up. I'm not going to pull it out right now. But when he said he wanted to inject the WWF with a lethal dose of poison. And the funny thing is that Vince McMahon himself has become poisonous to WWE. Well, that's another conversation for another episode of this podcast. But this is my creation. And I wasn't going to kill it, but I also wasn't going to let it simply die a slow death being half rate. So I paused it. So episode 117 from September 3rd,
2020 was the last time you heard from us. And a lot of things have changed. I'm no longer at that news radio station. There's one thing I have had to get used to in my professional career, and particularly in the last decade here on the East Coast, is that every job seems to have an expiration date. Sometimes that expiration date takes years. Sometimes that expiration date is like milk, and it ain't gonna last long. Sometimes it's sudden. Sometimes you see it coming. What happened to me on March 2nd was kind of a combination of both. I was the victim of a newsroom cut. And after more than 4 years and 3.5 on afternoons and doing amazing numbers, and by all accounts, including just from people who matter in the business, I was doing an incredible job, but suddenly I was gone. And I initially was going to try to bring this podcast back in April. And it just because of extenuating circumstances with non-competes and things with money. It's a lot of business bullshit that you don't really need to hear about. And I don't really want to go through. It's a lot. That's one of those things where if you know me and we talk one-on-one, I'll lead you through it. But it's not something that I'm going to drag out here on a podcast. I will say this, though. It's nice to have the mic back in my hands. It's nice to be able to do my own thing and not have my voice policed, to not have my thoughts micromanaged, to not have my tone micromanaged. I've talked like this and sounded like this. I will be 44 years old in a month. Man, that is scary. I will be 44 years old in a month. I've sounded like this for more than 30 years. This is how I'm going to talk. This is how I'm going to sound. I've got a lot of charisma. I got a lot of personality. At least that's what I've been told. And I'm fond of showing it. And this is how it's going to be. And it's nice to be able to do that on something without having someone trying to tone police me and micromanage my voice and micromanage my thoughts and complain about the different ways I say words and catchphrases and everything else, going through everything with a fine-tooth comb. You need to have a personality in order to try to police mine. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But now I find myself back in April at a crossroads again. I wanted to bring this podcast back, and I wanted to do it in a way that would make a bit of a splash. But then I also thought about it where there's one other thing I've always wanted to do too, and that's television. And I've wanted to do TV since I was a little kid. Growing up in Detroit, watching Channel 4 and Channel 7 news. I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to do play-by-play. Y'all know how I am about TV. Y'all, as anybody who knows me knows how I am. So for me to have gotten the opportunity that I've had to be on television recently in Philadelphia, it's mind-blowing. And I'm going to take a quick break here because guess what, baby? We are back. And when we get on the other side of this thing, I'm going to talk to you about the transition that I've made from being radio man to TV guy, I guess, kind of, sort of. I mean, the seeds were getting planted back in 2020 when the YouTube page showed up. I'll have an update on that. I'll have an update on what it's been like to make the move from radio to TV and offer a couple of unfiltered thoughts on just what it's like having been an 18-year radio man and podcaster and lifelong writer suddenly stepping out in front of the camera. My name is Jay Scott Smith, and your ears are not deceiving you. This is the 118th episode of the People's Podcast. This is JSC Radio, and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to the People's Podcast.
The king is back, baby.
This is JSC. SC Radio.
People are always looking to invest in a good opportunity. So what if you could invest in the future of kids, like a stock? Not the kind of stock that's about making money, but a stock for social change called Better Futures. With your investment, it helps students like me go to college. My name is Charles, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the People's Podcast. This is JSC Radio.
This is the 118th episode of the People's Podcast. This is JSC Radio. God, it feels good to say that again. Welcome back, damn it. I'm J. Scott Smith here again. I want to thank y'all for supporting us across all of your different and favorite podcast providers over all this time because, yes, damn it, we are back. We're back, baby. We're back. Seriously, we back, baby. We back up in here. Of course, again, you can check us out on Apple Podcasts and on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio as well. You can check us out on Pandora. Of course, you can listen to us on Google Music, on Amazon Music as well. Unfortunately, you can no longer listen to us on Stitcher, but that's okay. That is okay. There are still plenty more places for you to choose from. And of course, also you can hear us, if you're so inclined, on the Odyssey app. So thank you once again for checking us out here. It's been a journey to get back to this. I will say that. Like, mentally, it was a journey to get back to this because I also had to kind of talk to myself a little bit. Like, do you still want to do this? Podcasting has changed a lot. Podcasting is always changing, but wowzers, it changed a boatload in the last 3 years. It's changed a lot in the last 6 months. Like, there's a whole lot of bread out here in this podcast game. And if you're just trying to do this, you got to have some horses behind you to do this. But also, I want to shout out my man, Doc Illingsworth. I want to shout out Awesome Jones. Those two brothers have been as supportive as ever of this show and everything it's done for so long. And it's good to be back because it also means I get to play some of their music. And Doc has done so much wild, fun shit the last few years, and he's got so much good music that I got plenty to choose from, at least, to help him to get some more of his music back out here onto the scene and into the streets, as well as my man Awesome Jones. Shout out to everybody in the Motor City, who, of course, always supports me, the hometown. It's always about the 313 around here. Of course, nothing but love to the city that's become, I guess, 1A for me, the city of Philadelphia, that we'll just get back to it right now. The city of Philadelphia, I will say this publicly. I got to say it somewhat in the Philadelphia Inquirer piece that came out after I was let go. The city of Philadelphia, man, I didn't grow up in Philly. I showed up in Philly on Halloween 2015. So it'll be almost 9 years, it'll be 8 years this year that I got to Philly. I can tell you this. The city of Philadelphia has been one of the most awesome places on earth. And there aren't too many other places. In fact, I can only think of one other place I would rather be than Philadelphia, and that would be back home in Detroit. But Philly has made me feel like a guy who's from there. They've made me feel at home. The thing about Philadelphia is if they don't like you, if they hate you, you'll hear it. The thing about Philly, though, if they love you, you're going to feel it. And I felt that back in March, and I felt it every day since then. I felt it every day on the air when I was on the radio, and I'm feeling it now that I'm doing some TV work. And there's that. So I've wanted to do television for as long as I've been in media. When I was a writer, when I got into radio, that's all I ever wanted was to be on TV. And not just for the sake of being on TV, but I always wanted to either be a newscaster, sportscaster,
play-by-play guy. And as I got older, voice actor, narrator. SAG-AFTRA strong, by the way. I'm kind of humbled, actually, that I've been able to get on television and get an opportunity to do this. Because say what you will, being on television in a major market is a big deal. Especially when you've been a guy who spent 18 damn years on radio. 18. My radio career is old enough to go to college, dog. We are a long ways away from Saturday Night Live on Power 96.5, Bubba. It's a long time ago, dog. I was in my 20s when this started. When I was doing news and sports updates on the morning show on WQHH in Lansing, Michigan, the idea that I wouldn't get my first crack on TV until 2023 never crossed my mind. I got into radio with the hopes of 2 or 3 years in, I would eventually go to one of the smaller local news stations in a place like Lansing or Flint, an outside shot. The biggest ceiling for me, I always thought, was going to be doing television in Detroit, which is something I still would love to do. But doing television in Detroit. And to have my radio and print career almost run like simultaneously with each other. They ran parallel or concurrent with each other for all this time. To all of a sudden being out of a radio job, a job I loved, by the way. I loved that gig. I enjoyed every second of that gig, man. You don't get too many opportunities to do radio like that in a major market. Philadelphia is market 4. Lansing was market 112. I started at market 112 18 years ago to get to doing radio at a monster level in a top 5 market, and you're winning awards for that shit? Are you kidding me? Had you told 25-year-old J. Scott Smith, well, back then it was just J. Scott, had you told 25-year-old J. Scott in his XXL Michigan State jersey with his baseball cap to match, wearing a oversized white XXL tall tee, standing in that tight little studio with that filthy little keyboard and that non-touchscreen dad inco system that froze up half the damn time, that by the time he was 41 years old, he would be winning an Edward R. Murrow Award for anchoring radio news in Philadelphia? I'd have laughed in your damn face. So for me to get to where I was big. But TV was always on my mind. And the one thing that I've heard repeatedly, especially in the last few years when I kind of started making it known that television is still the eventual goal, well, you got to be careful. That transition, baby. It's going to be hard for you. It's going to be hard. Television's difficult. It's way different, man. It's different, man. This shit's different out here, bro. I'm not sure. Television's going to be something. It's like you got that camera and you got to think quick and you got all these things. And I'd psyched my own brain into thinking that there's got to be a marked difference. There's got to be something big on the other side of that horizon. Because all these years in radio, both anchoring and reporting, it's got to be next level when you get to television. And I'm always going to shoot straight on this podcast. Television has been an adjustment. It has. And to those of you who are listening to this, to you podcasters, to you radio journos who check this show out, radio to TV is a transition and it is an adjustment. But no one ever uses nuance when they talk about that. It would be a monster adjustment for you to jump from, say, small market radio to major market TV without a buffer in between. It would be hard if you only did maybe a year or two of radio to suddenly leap into television, especially if you didn't do a year or two of hard radio reporting or a year or two of just hardcore radio anchoring or hosting a show or something of that level where you got to really get on the inside of this thing. If you didn't have an editing background in radio, if you didn't have an audio editing background, if you didn't learn how to basically be a self-starter and chase stories and be a great journalist, and you wanted to go from being at your small market radio station to like a smaller mid-market TV station, yeah, it could be a shock to the system.
But if you got it out the mud like I did, and you did nearly 20 years in radio, if you came into day one in radio in 2005 at 25 years old, already well-versed in digital audio editing, when the radio station you're walking into has nobody who knows how to do it, when you walk into said radio station, when you've had 2 years of training and you had 10 years of dreaming about doing a show like we did at Saturday Night Live on Power 96.5, if you're willing to adjust to different formats, if you've been through the wars going from market 112 to market 100 or whatever the hell Flint was at the time, to chasing your journalist dreams in grad school and getting an internship unpaid at an NPR station in the Motor City, to getting newspaper jobs, working in sports offices for very little money, and having to basically fight your way through whole editors and rude reporters and people not wanting to talk to you or wanting to help you out, and you have to, once again, get it out the mud and get it how you live. And you go back to the bottom and you're chasing down stories covering high school lacrosse games. And you're doing high school softball games and high school baseball games and high school basketball games to small college basketball games to large college basketball games to Major League Baseball games, while simultaneously getting another gig with a national website to cover major issues in your same city and being able to start covering Major League Baseball games in a World Series. If you've been able to do that sort of thing while at the same time also getting to go on radio, being able to fill in for legendary hosts doing morning shows in Detroit.
Tell me when I'm telling lies!
Because Detroit is a major market. Do that for 4 years. You then move sight unseen to the East Coast to take a newspaper job, only to be bait and switched. But in that short amount of time you were at that newspaper job, you got an opportunity to get in front of a camera and try out just to see how you were. And then after that newspaper job, you find yourself at one of the flagship NPR stations in the United States in Philadelphia. And you work as a producer on their morning show, Morning Edition. And you get your first crack at anchoring in the midday. And you get to finally learn how to tell stories. Going out into the streets, telling people stories, doing long-form packages and pieces that don't involve video, but you have to find a very creative way to tell that story with just sound.
Tell me when I'm telling lies!
And you're able to do that for 3.5 years. Then it all comes crumbling down and you got to re-up again. And you find yourself a new passion project, a podcast that keeps your brain moving, that keeps your heart pumping, that keeps your energy going, while you're also freelance writing for that same national website that you got your first start on 6 years earlier.
Tell me when I'm telling lies!
And then all of a sudden, a very good friend who works at a television station tosses you a lob, tosses you a lifeline, while you're also concurrently starting to teach at an HBCU 40 miles away. That friend who works in TV tosses you the lob and says, hey, they're looking for part-time news anchors. I can get you in front of the guy. She gets you in front of them. You blow their face away with the audition. And next thing you know, you're walking into a newsroom again. But this time, you're going to be anchoring mostly. But you also get to report once in a while. But you become so good at anchoring that you can't miss. You're like Steph Curry on a heater. You can't miss. And you run into a year like 2020. Where every weekend when you're on the air, some crazy is going down. And you have to be ready for each of them. Each story, it's a different fresh hell every Saturday or Sunday. On those random weeknights you're in there, all of a sudden, because climate change is tearing this country and this planet apart,
You've got a random tornado in New Jersey that you got to talk about, that you got to guide coverage through, you got to hand off to. You got to be able to react and think on your feet fast. And you don't have a camera, you got to tell that story with sound.
Tell me when I'm telling lies!
And then you run into a fateful weekend after George Floyd is killed. The tension is palpable across the country. It's so thick in the air that you show up in your radio station wearing your station gear, knowing that even though you haven't been sent out into the streets in more than a year, you're prepared to go out in the streets and cover what's going to be a major story because you feel it. You have that instinct in your bones that something's going to go down that afternoon. And then sure enough, halfway through your first hour on the air, the call comes in. We got a car on fire. And everybody freezes except for you. You're walking back from your desk and you yell out of the door, "What type of car?" Ask her, "What type of car?" She says, "Cop car." What you do in a moment like that determines whether or not you're made to do what we do.
Tell me when I'm telling lies!
The next thing to come out of my mouth is, it's go time. All hell breaks loose within 20 minutes, and next thing you know, we've got one of the biggest news stories in decades in front of you. And you're a weekend guy on radio, and you can only tell that story with sound. You can only tell that story by basically going into play-by-play mode and calling what you see on the screen in front of you. How do you handle that? What kind of instincts do you have as a journalist to be able to do that? You find out who can do it and who can't. You find out who the adults are in the room in situations like that.
Tell me when I'm telling lies!
If you're able to navigate all that and you somehow parlay that weekend plus that insane year that would even get crazier when you get to the election and you're on the air when all these kinds of things happen, you get promoted. You go from weekends to afternoon drive in a major market. On radio, afternoon drive is as big as the mornings. And you got to be ready for anything to go down. And every major story, every fun story, every major sports story, every major human interest story, every major crime story, because it's Philadelphia. And you got to be there and you got to be ready, or stay ready, as we like to say around here.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
That's journalist instincts. That's the type of thing you can't teach. Like they used to say about Big Cass, or as he now is in AEW, Big Bill. As they used to say about Big Bill being 7 feet tall, you can't teach that. You can't teach certain journalistic instincts. And those are the types of skills that translate. It don't make a difference how nice you look on camera, even though your boy don't look bad in front of the camera. It doesn't make a difference how good you look on that camera. It doesn't make a difference how polished you are. It doesn't make a difference how many small markets you worked in, how many little markets you climbed up the ladder to get to. It doesn't make a difference if you did all this in the small markets. All it matters is if you get into a major market, what do you do when the shit hits the fan?
Tell me when I'm telling lies!
And it shouldn't matter whether you had experience broadcasting on in front of a camera or just in front of a microphone. If you can handle that sort of thing on radio, you can do it on television.
Tell me when I'm telling lies!
That's the thing that I have learned and figured out. Rarely have I ever been nervous doing anything in front of a microphone. Rarely. I can count on one hand the number of times I was nervous jumping on a microphone. The first time I stepped in front of a microphone when I was 17 years old, I was scared to death. The first time I got on the air on January 5th, 2005, boy, that date and the date that follows it have certainly changed over time, by the way. That also happened during the hiatus. Good grief. But January 5th, 2005, that was a time I was nervous. April 1st, 2005, when I did my first solo show, Saturday Night Live. I was nervous. You want to know the next time I was nervous like that? Day one on television, back on May 31st. And I was nervous all the way up until they said, "You're clear," which is the sign that means your mic is off, you're off camera, you're good. Because once I got that first one in, it was like, okay, I can do this. If you're someone who works in radio and you want to get into television, don't let anybody tell you that you have to go all the way back to the back of the line and start over, especially if you've paid your dues in radio. I've paid my dues in radio, and there are plenty of other people who have paid their dues in radio too, who deserve just as much of a shot to to get in front of that camera. Because guess what? If you've done any discernible amount of time in broadcasting, whether it's on radio or on TV or digitally, because that's a thing now too. But if you've done a discernible amount of time on radio, I mean at least 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, 18 in my case, you can do TV and it won't be that difficult of a transition as long as you mind your facial expressions and you're open to learning new things and you're open to telling visual stories. Because telling audio stories is actually tougher to do than being on camera.
Tell me when I'm telling lies!
With the visual story, you can always fall back to the B-roll. You can always fall back to that great shot. You can describe that great moment, but they can see it in front of them. The best storytellers on radio can tell you that story without those pictures. Now imagine if you've got the ability to tell a story without pictures and you got them in front of you. That makes you dangerous, bro. That makes you dangerous, sis. There's so many of you out there. And TV companies and TV stations, I'm calling you out right now. A lot of y'all are struggling to find journalists. I don't mean talent, I mean journalists. A lot of you are struggling to find journalists, but also a lot of you refuse to simply turn on that radio and go hunting. I'm old enough to remember when the natural progression was a guy either started in newspaper and went to radio and then went from radio to TV. That still happened when I was like a teenager. I know back in the ancient days of the 1990s and early 2000s, when cats actually used to be plucked off radio stations and plopped onto television and they would kill it. Because broadcast experience is broadcast experience. It doesn't matter if it's in front of a camera or in front of a microphone. It's experience. And there's a lot of untapped talent floating around out there because too many people in television are either too afraid or too stubborn or too short-sighted or too close-minded to come on over to radio. We got some great storytellers here, and dare I say, we got even better journalists over here. So for me to step into television now, and I'm not going to say it's been 100% easy. There has been a bit of a learning curve, and there are some things I got to figure out. But I compare me walking into television with 18 years of broadcast experience, not radio experience, broadcast experience. Walking into television with 18 years of broadcast experience is kind of like being that guy who went to college and went through ROTC, who then goes into the Army or the Navy or the Air Force, where instead of coming in as a private and a member of the infantry, when you go through ROTC and graduate and you go into the military, you're coming in with those bars. You're coming in as a lieutenant, as an officer, where you still have things to learn, but you're going into the master class. You're not going in to the beginner. That's how this has kind of been for me. It's been like walking in there and having to learn at the master level. That a lot of this stuff, once I got in there for a couple of days and you get going and you start to figure this out, it's like, yeah, that's similar to radio. Yeah, we did that in radio too. Geez, we're doing packages out here? Well, guess what? We do packages in radio too, except we don't have video, and we have to edit the sound ourselves, and we got to write out the scripts ourselves, and we got to find a place to voice track these things because we don't have a news van or a news truck. So often we have to shoot it or record it in our own cars or in a bathroom or in a closet, or if you've got enough time, you can run back to the station and jump into a studio and do it.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
A lot of what we do in radio, you do in TV anyway. What are we doing? And to everybody who's been unbelievably kind and telling me how much of a natural I am and how much I look like I belong there, I can't tell you how much that means to me. But I know I still got work to do because I still had work to do in radio. But to get this opportunity that I've had and hopefully to have more to come, I'm grateful for it because it's a testament to hard work. And don't feel, if you're a radio guy or a podcaster who has radio experience listening to this and you want to go into TV, continue to work hard at radio. Yes, you got to make some adjustments. And it's not going to be for everybody. But then again, radio ain't for everybody either. Because it's a little bit harder than television people think to step into our side of the field. A lot of y'all are very shocked when you realize how much extra work you got to do on the radio side because you got to learn how to tell a damn story and you can't fall back on the pictures.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
That's how I've been able to do this. And that's how I'll continue to do this. When it comes to this podcast, I will not sit here and say I'll be able to do a podcast episode every week. I wasn't doing one every week beforehand. It would really be hard to turn that around now. But I can promise you one at least once a month to start. At least once a month, maybe every couple of weeks. We're getting back on this horse. We're going to start getting some guests back in here again too. I just want to thank you for not just the support of everything I've done on radio in Philadelphia, but what I'm doing on television in Philadelphia, and those of you who supported this podcast, which came before nearly everything else we've done here. And I'm just grateful to y'all. So I want to thank you so much. This is the 118th episode of the People's Podcast. My God, we're just back at it, baby.
The king is back, baby.
I want to thank you again for supporting the show, for supporting Doc Illingsworth. Follow him at Illingsworth, Awesome Jones, at Awesome Jones. And everybody else out here who listens and supports this show, thank you. Damn it, thank you. We're back. That's episode 118, baby. I can guarantee you that 119 will be happening before the end of the month. And then we got another milestone, 120, and I'm going to try to get a guest, but that's going to take some time. And if you see me out here at the NABJ convention down here in Birmingham, Alabama, be sure to hit up your boy and say hello, because I'm easy to deal with, at least for now, because TV hasn't given me the big head. So let's wrap this thing up the way we always do. This is the 118th episode of the People's Podcast. My name is J. Scott Smith, telling you to take care of yourself. God bless. Always dare to be different. Always have your pets spayed or neutered. And we are out of here, Bubba. Thank you so much for your support. And we'll see you again very soon with episode 119. So until then, goodbye, everybody.
And there are those of you who I'm sure we're praying to whatever God you believe in, that I'm going to put these down here in this ring and walk into the sunset never to be seen again. But until there is somebody in this company that can fill these boots, they belong on my feet. Tell me when I'm telling lies.
You're listening to the People's Podcast.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
This is JSC Radio.
I heard on the news about that 5-year-old who found his uncle's gun. The kid didn't know it was loaded.
I heard on the news about that 14-year-old girl who was bullied online. For like a year, she couldn't take it anymore, so she got her dad's gun from his nightstand.
I heard on the news about that guy who broke into someone's house, stole a gun from the hall closet.
He accidentally shot his cousin in the head.
She killed herself.
And later, killed the owner of the store he was trying to rob.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.